When you're a teenager, you think you can do anything, and you do. Your 20s are a blur. 30s, you raise your family, you make a little money, and you think to yourself, what happened to my 20s? 40s, you grow a little pot belly, you grow another chin. The music starts to get too loud. One of your old girlfriends from high school becomes a grandmother. 50s, you have a minor surgery. You'll call it a procedure. 60s, you'll have a major surgery. The music is still loud, but it doesn't matter because you can't hear it anyway. 70s, you and the wife retire to Fort Lauderdale. The 80s, you'll have a major stroke. Any questions?
What the hell is that?
Stone on Air coming up.
Completely unsanctioned by the church.
Stone on Air.
Whatever, let's just do this.
Stone on Air.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
Give human beings opportunity, and you'll be absolutely shocked with what people do with it.
Stone on Air coming up.
Stone on Air.
The trajectory of life as put by Billy Crystal in City Slickers. Welcome in to the show. Why? Well, I don't know. Why do I do anything? You could ask that about every single thing I ever do in my life. Why? I don't know. Why not? One thing I will disagree with, though, the music ain't too loud, man. I'm 44. The music ain't too loud. Always turn it up. Always turn it up. Welcome into the Stone on Air podcast. Plenty to get to, and I will start things momentarily. Hang tight.
Life, man, a generation.
Can't get loud enough still for me. My hearing is still very, very good, surprisingly. All my musician friends, all my loud music friends scold me, mainly the musicians do this, about not wearing ear protection when we, with the old band or the sometimes band, they all wore ear protection. And I tried it because I was thinking, boy, I am pretty old to be still blasting my ears out with these loud guitars. I'm not talking about sitting around listening to records, you know, on coming off a record store day or just music in general. I'm talking about playing music and standing right next to amplifiers that are exploding your eardrums, and something I hadn't done regularly since my 30s. But and then I realized, boy, this is loud. This is probably not okay. And so just the little super cheap, you know, the freebie little, what are those, foam things you stick in your ears? Well, forget that. I mean, I'm never putting those in my ears. All they do is completely just muffle. They just muffle everything. So no go on that. So then I spent, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 bucks, something like that, on some really nice noise cancel, whatever the hell it's called, just little earbud things. And I still couldn't hear anything. And we were at practice. I'm like, guys, I don't know what's worse. I can't hear, therefore I can't efficiently do this, or I lose my hearing. So I just stopped wearing them. And then these days I'm not playing live music anymore right now. But I mean, I see people that have the ear protection in everywhere they go at live concerts. And it's just not a world I want to live in yet. And I know someday I'll probably be like, damn it. That was stupid of me, like so many other things in my life. Hello, by the way, everybody. Who am I? My name is Brian. This is the Stone on Air podcast. It is the occasionally for-profit venture that I've been doing for about 8 years now. It is roughly an hour long every week in 20-minute segments. So if you want to bounce around, you certainly can do so, though I encourage you to stick around for the entire thing. So I will lay out the show quickly. Coming up in the second segment of the show, the United Auto Workers are coming to Volkswagen in Chattanooga. Oh, God. Be scared. Oh, my God. All the Republicans. Oh, my God. They're so mad. And all the Democrats. Oh, we're so excited. Do we even really know what this means to the average person? Does anybody understand any of this? And, well, spoiler, not really. Not really. I'll get into that as much as I can, because I don't know a lot about it either, nor do I really care. But it is the top story here locally in Chattanooga. I'll do that in the second segment of the show. And in the final segment of the show, two main things. I will do my annual revisit of my predictions for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions, which are always, well, they vary, but usually pretty wrong. And this year would be pretty much no exception. And in honor of 423 Day, which obviously was Tuesday, today being Wednesday the 24th, I decided I would take a look at this YouTube account that just somehow got on my radar from, I've got it written down on the other page that I'll get to later from where it's from, but why Chattanooga is the worst city to live in, and have a little fun with that. I didn't know if that was going to be a serious thing or a silly thing until I got into it. Another spoiler alert, it's a little bit of a silly thing. That'll be in the final segment of the show. So let's get things started now, shall we? So on Tuesday, as I'm wrapping up preparation for this week's show, I'm getting a couple of messages directly to me, and then I'm seeing them on social, these alerts coming from what look like weather services. And it says, I printed off one of them, local area emergency. This was 3:30 on April 23rd. Until 5:30, so that would have been an hour ago, in case you wondered, as of recording time. From the National Weather Service, the following message is transmitted at the request of Hamilton County Emergency Services and Homeland Security. Limit exposure, limit exposure. And that's all that it says. And I saw similar things that were floating around saying limit exposure. But it didn't say to what. Now, if it's coming from the National Weather Service, clearly it is safe to assume we're talking about weather-related something. But limit exposure from what? It's a 72-degree, beautiful April day. What is there to limit exposure from? Well, didn't take too long to realize, connecting dots and the simple 2+2 math, there was a fire in downtown Chattanooga. First saw this from News Channel 9, which is my favorite local television news, but it says, if you notice large smoke plume in downtown Chattanooga, you're not alone. Looking at a scrap metal fire at SA Recycling. Doesn't have the address here, but I believe it was West 19th Street. And I'm thinking, okay, well, at least it explains that. But what is SA Recycling? Never heard of it. Then I start looking around some more and see my guys over at the Chattanoogan.com had the headline, PSC Metals had a fire. So I don't know where News Channel 9 is getting SA Recycling. I certainly have heard of PSC Metals, a huge recycling company. It's a national, or certainly a regional company anyway. So that explains that, if you were wondering what is going on with the big puffs and clouds of smoke in downtown Chattanooga. Hey, we're trying to save the earth, guys, with this recycling stuff, not create tire fires. If you could help us with that, we'd appreciate it. All right, thanks. So that was quickly added to the show sheet. I'll start where it originally started, just to look back at the past weekend. Record Store Day was another fun day. It's become an annual tradition for me. The Snap Fest was an all right time. Looked like it was a pretty good turnout overall at Miller Park, with lots of local music and Snapdragon Hemp being a big supporter of that. Of course, I'm a Hemp House guy, which you will be hearing more about in the future, but I did stop by there for a minute. Went to the St. Elmo, I don't remember what they called it, street party. Neighborhood street party is about the best I could remember at this point to call it. It seemed fine. I thought it was more of a hemp thing. It wasn't, but a nice little neighborhood thing. And then they were having a big parade for dogs. And so that was my cue to get the hell out of there. It was corgis in particular, specifically. And last thing I want to have anything to do is with a bunch of damn dogs. So love you, St. Elmo, but I didn't stick around for that all that long. And then over the weekend was the Usher, what do they call that? Just celebration, give the key to the city, you're a wonderful guy, this is your life, whatever it was exactly. I never cared about it the minute I heard about it, other than if it was performance-based, I would have been intrigued, but that would be it, just intrigued. They said it was a sellout. I believe that they actually distributed all the tickets that they wanted to distribute. I believe that actually happened, but the entire upstairs was empty. They weren't even attempting to put people up there. So that explains that a little bit more now, because when I heard, oh my God, it's sold out. I mean, that dumpy building, McKenzie Arena, UTC Arena, the Roundhouse, holds a lot of people, especially if it's a pretty small stage. And in this case, this was, I mean, you could fit 10,000 in there easily. So that kind of explains that. And I mean, I don't want to hate on it because there's no reason to. I don't want to love on it either because I don't really understand what it's for other than, hey, look, it's Usher. Look at, there he is. I don't really know what natives of this area owe the community. I would say they don't really owe the community anything. A lot of people do have strong thoughts on this. Some not so strong. I don't really have hardly any at all. I did see a couple people online mention me once in a post and some others, not just me, about, oh, I can't wait to hear what so-and-so has to say about this, which is certainly flattering. I certainly mean that. That's like, that is what this is all about. You know, to create destination listening, that's what this, you know, overall goal kind of is. So I certainly appreciate it, but I don't have anything for anybody. I don't have a strong thought on it. I don't know what Usher's supposed to do. I don't know if he's supposed to care about this city. I don't know if he's supposed to sing about us. You know, doesn't mean anything to me. I know a lot of people, mostly educators, that were involved with this, and they had, it would appear, one of the times of their lives. And that might sound a little bit of an exaggeration, but it really did look like people were having immense joy at this gathering. Maybe that was just social media giving me the best parts of it. I don't know. The bottom line is I don't care, but I'm glad people enjoyed it. And I'm glad that it happened. And there you go. Usher's got a key to the city. Okay, so I talk about how April is hashtag my month, favorite time of the year. And then June is hashtag my other month, my second favorite month of the year, primarily because Bonnaroo is in it, and it's the middle of the summer. And I know it's hot, but I love the summertime, and I love Bonnaroo. So June is my other month. Well, I don't talk about it near as much because it is a time when my seasonal depression is peaking around the corner, and it's almost here. It's not there yet, but it's getting close. So my energy levels start to dip. But September is hashtag my other month. And that's because of the cooling of the temperatures and a lot of fun things to do in September as well. April, June, September. If those are great months, then the rest of the year, the other 9 months, are completely house money. If it's great, that's awesome. If it sucks, no big deal. Because the three important months matter. Well, this year, September is looking phenomenal again. I'm going to be in New York early in the month. I'm going to be in Atlanta in the middle of the month. And it looks like I will be in Huntsville at the end of the month as the brand new inaugural South Star Festival is taking place. The lineup dropped on Tuesday, and they are going for the 90s and 2000s kids. So they are coming directly after me and people of my ilk. The problem with this lineup is, first of all, there's not really a problem with it. It's a very good lineup. The problem is they picked all the worst of my personal preferences. Now, that's my problem. Nobody else's. The headliners, Gwen Stefani and Blink-182. Others here throughout the two-day festival on Saturday the 28th and Sunday the 29th at John Hunt Park in Huntsville. I'm not familiar with Huntsville. Don't know anything about the park. Talk more about it as it gets here closer, I'm sure. Jane's Addiction, Jimmy Eat World, Shinedown, Gin Blossoms, Candlebox. God, I hate Candlebox. Beck, Sublime, Fake Ass Sublime. I didn't like the real Sublime. Goo Goo Dolls, for a minute I loved them, but just a minute and a long time ago. Ludacris Don't Care, Big Boy Don't Care, Pete Yorn. That one will surprise you. That's sneaky good with Pete Yorn. And then a couple I'm not overly that familiar with. It's not a loaded, big, long list. That's about it. And it is high quality. I'm guessing it is really high ticket price as well. So if that's something you're interested in, the South Star Festival in Huntsville, we will be talking a lot about that over the course of the rest of the year on the What podcast, if you fancy. Coming up this weekend, complete order will have been restored during the best month ever as the Chattanooga market returns for its annual two-day open at the Pavilion. And while my love for, well, that's going to be the wrong way of saying it. I was about to say my love for the market has waned over the years. It's not for the market or the people, the idea, the thing, right? It's not that. It's just like everything else. Many times it's just too crowded and it is bonkers expensive. But I don't even care about that because I take care of all that on my own anyway. Even when it wasn't crazy expensive, I generally didn't go down there and spend a whole lot of money, even though I did enjoy spending my money with local vendors. I am that kind of guy. I do like to give my money to people here in the city of Chattanooga. I truly do. Unless you're pricing me out, which a lot of the vendors there have done. But I still really love doing it. Here's the deal, though. It goes all the way till November. So there's no reason for 20,000 of us to all go this weekend, even though 20,000 of us are all thinking about going this weekend. And on Sunday, it looks like a high of 81 and sunny skies. So even if it is going to be, you know, packed to the brim, I will likely stop in to the Chattanooga Market, one of my favorite events of the season. Just a couple of minutes left here, and I quickly want to get to a few of these. So I went to the doctor a couple weeks ago. All things are good, all right? So I go through my labs the other day, and I'm just going through them line by line. I don't know what half this stuff means, right? And it gets to the THC marijuana part of my urine test. Yeah, this is a full physical. Blood, urine, the whole deal. Stand on two, you know, 1 foot, dance around, check all your flexibility and all that. Everything checked out. And my THC level on my drug test was negative. 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 I made a flippant post about it. I don't even think I put it on main socials. I think I put it on Snap that said, why couldn't drug test be this faulty 25 years ago? Because there is no reason why I should have a negative THC test in the year 2024. Not with the amount of legal hemp derivative Delta 9 that I consume these days. It is damn near a daily practice for me. And I'm passing drug test? Where were you in 1999 when I needed you? Where? What the hell? That's all on that. Dickie Betts, man. Oh, I love the Allman Brothers so, so, so much. And Dickie Betts, you know, old man, lived a fulfilling life. Nothing to be sad about. Passed away last week. Just some of the best Allman Brothers songs ever came from Dickie. I only saw one show that I remember that I know Dickie Betts was there. And I think it was around 99 or 2000. Could have been 2001. Somewhere right around there. Oh, it was a wild show at the old Starwood Amphitheater in Antioch, which is where all the big shows used to go just south of Nashville. So much fun back then. But some of the best songs, Blue Sky, Hotlanta, In Memory of Elizabeth Reed, Jessica, No One to Run With, Ramblin' Man, Revival, just to name a few, are all Dickie Betts songs. This band would have never been to the level that they were of popularity without Dickie Betts. I mean, Greg is great. We all love Greg. Without him, you didn't have a band. But without Dickie Betts, and then later, Warren Haynes picked up that slack when they officially moved on from Dickie Betts, probably in the mid-90s or so. I don't remember that timeline exactly. Warren picked that up and filled that void quite well. That's what makes that band so cool, is that they've always been able to kind of roll with it over the decades. But that is another one gone, man. Ramblin' Man. Rolling down Highway 41. Lord, I was born around. I have that song. You know how there's just some things that stick in your brain and never leave? Well, the song Ramblin' Man and the environment in which I most vividly remember it, cruising down the road in my 1977 Chevy Nova metallic blue beautiful car at 16, 17 years old with the windows down, blasting from the cassette player Ramblin' Man. I was born in the back seat of a Greyhound bus. Rolling down Highway 41, and it was a goal of mine all my life to get a Highway 41 sign amongst the countless other street signs and license plates and other rusty junk that I collect, and I have my Highway 41 sign hanging up outside specifically because of that song Dickie Betts wrote with the Allman Brothers. And there you go. Blink, and a segment is over. I'll step aside for a short break. UAW, it was a huge landslide vote in favor of unionizing Volkswagen. Is it the end of the world or saving modern man and the workplace blues? We'll get to that next.
We have 128 assorted penny blossoms ready to ship.
Oh, God, we're never going to finish in time.
I believe I'm hearing some negativity on the factory floor.
Sal?
Penny, the labor force is a living organism that must be carefully nurtured. Any counterproductive grumbling must be skillfully headed off by management. Observe.
Hey! Less talk, more work.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You hear any union talk, you let me know.
Rarely do I rely on Big Bang Theory for rejoin material, but I just happened to be watching that episode, and I was like, hey, that'll work for the union segment. This is the third single from Dark Matter. Yes, of course, you knew you were going to hear some of it today. Of course, released last week, continuing the best month ever. And I talked about it last week. They had the teaser out. It wasn't released yet, and I wasn't able to use the song. And I played 30 seconds of it, and I wasn't trying to, like, be theater of the mind. I was like, oh, it sounds so good. I want to hear more. And then when I finally got to hear it, I was like, oh, well, that's a little disappointing. This song's not that good at all, actually. I mean, it's fine, but it's not that great. And it's 5 minutes long. It never ends. Got a little bit of that Tom Petty feel, kind of like the side project that Ed did with some guys called the Earthlings recently. I think this is kind of a throwaway B-side. But yeah, I heard it's 5 minutes long. First of all, I know it's not 1955, but a five-minute single? What are you doing, Pearl Jam? Nobody wants to hear your five-minute songs, except for me. I'll listen to your five-minute songs all day. There's a six-minute song on this thing. There's another five-minute song. That's fine. What are you releasing that as a single for? And it just doesn't have that catchy grab, if you will, to it like I was expecting. A real quick, and I'm not going to bore you with this for much longer than a few seconds, a quick little blurb I highlighted from a review from Pearl Jam's Dark Matter. If you are Pearl Jam neutral or averse, this is simply a more intense and focused version of the band we've known for 3+ decades. But if you're already sold, there's something here for every strain of Pearl Jam fan, whether they're being high-flying arena rock or rough, strummy power ballads. Is Dark Matter that different from immediate predecessors, Backspacer, Lightning Bolt, and Gigaton? That's their last three albums. Not really, but it is somehow Pearl Jammier in an ineffable sense. To me, it's just another Pearl Jam record. I've listened to it 5 times. Which seems like that should be enough. I need at least 5 more before I'll have a complete review of my own, which I probably won't bore you with on the show. But I have not made up my mind as to how much I do or don't love it yet. I am just ecstatic to have new music from a band that I will not be getting new music from for all that much longer if you just do the math. And we'll leave it at that. So, predictably, social media was being a bunch of assholes on this one here locally. Facebook is where I saw most of it. All the usual suspects from Reddit, Twitter, and all that. The UAW vote was last week, and I have never quite understood this one. I don't know anything about unions, and I guess it's because I'm primarily grew up in the South. Wasn't born here, but I've been here virtually my entire life, and unions are just not a thing, and they turned into a politicized thing long before this became just what we do, right? Like, where we just come up with things that we want to hate each other about, and it doesn't matter any context or anything like that. And this was one of those long before that. And so I don't have really an opinion on it. I've never been a part of a union. I know some people who have, and a lot of the stories that I've gotten anecdotally really kind of check out to the right side of this, meaning the right, the GOP, the Republicans, who they hate it, right? If you're a Republican, you hate unions. If you're a Democrat, you love them, which is all you need to know, that that's not how simple this is. And it never has been, and it never is, and it never will be. But before I get too far into the current situation, just a quick look back. If you listened to me back in the middle portion of the first decade of this century, and you believed me, then you would have thought that VW coming to town was a terrible idea. That's how I approached it in 2006, 7, and 8 when it was becoming a reality. Now, at that time, the economy was tanking more every day. The auto industry needed to be saved by the government. And here we were going to start building cars. So it didn't take too much of a cynical mind to say, oh, really? You want to build cars when no one's buying them? That sounds like a great idea. And give them all the tax breaks? Oh, okay, yeah. Give yourself a hug, Ron Littlefield. Give yourself a hug, Claude Ramsey. Hey, Bill Haslam, you know, do some cartwheels in the front yard. Look at you. Well, I was wrong. I was totally wrong. This has been a huge win for the community. It has been a huge win for development on that side of town. I mean, the Enterprise South, if you remember, was what that property was called when it was deemed like ready for development for business of some kind in the early 2000s and maybe as late as the late 90s. And I would be the same guy, right? Like, I'm the dickhead. I complained, hey, what are we doing with Enterprise South? It's just been sitting there with this like crazy waterfall sign. I see it every time I drive by on Bonnie Oaks, but it's never anything. And then they finally make it something. And then I'm like, well, that's the wrong thing. You know, I was that typical guy then, I guess, as much as I'm still kind of that typical guy now. But they get all the tax breaks. They make it happen. They open in 2011, $1 billion to build that thing. Can you imagine what it would cost now? Holy Jesus. In 2014 was when the first time the UAW talk started. And this became a big deal around here. And I was on the air a lot when the place opened. I was on the air a lot when the announcement came that it was on, that the plant was coming. And then I was on the air when it opened. And then I was on the air a lot during this time in 2014 when third party groups mobilized against the union drive with newspaper columns, advertising, and billboards. Political leaders, including Bob Corker and Bill Haslam, weigh in opposing unionization at the plant. Just a big push. They would get in front of any camera and any microphone and say, this is going to ruin what we've done for you, what we brought to this city. There was the talk of the line expanding because they were building one car. Let me back up a little bit. So Volkswagen's coming to town and they're going to be producing this brand new car, this super secret thing, right? That was the thing for a while. None of us could know. And then they unveiled what it was going to be. And can you guess what that was? Can you remember? It wasn't the Jetta. It wasn't the Cabrio. It wasn't the Fox. It wasn't the Beetle. It wasn't the Microbus. It wasn't the Thing. It wasn't the Squareback, the Type 1, Type 2. None of those. The brand new car coming to Chattanooga to be produced at Volkswagen was the Passat. Huh? Ba-dum-bum-ba-dum. The Passat. Didn't they quit making that terrible car? Well, yes, they did. And they brought it back, and they actually made it quite well. And it sold pretty good. I think they've already discontinued it since then. But so that just led to my skepticism. Hey, look how exciting is everybody. We're about to build a brand new car. Meet the new car. Same as the old car, the Passat. Well, there was talk about expanding the line to an SUV. And Bob Corker, and I know for sure because I talked to him while he did it, we were on the air, but also Bill Haslam and anybody else, because they all use the same talking points, said every lie in the book that this is not coming. We're not getting another line of vehicle here if UAW comes in and unionizes. And it scared everybody to death, and that's the way the vote went, 53-47 at that time in 2014. So it was pretty damn close to 50-50, and the scare tactics pushed it the other way. Not to bore you with all the specifics here, but in 2015, it comes back up, then it gets tabled for a little bit. In 2019, same deal, comes back up, gets tabled a little bit. And then fast forward, I'm sure, you know, COVID time, and then the, just the insanity of the world of the last 4 years has tabled this until now. And last week, this thing passed, and there's going to be a union at Volkswagen, whether you like it or not. So start getting used to it. Here's the most surprising thing. The vote was 2,628 to 985. 2,628 to 985. That is a huge disparity and a lot of people who want to do this. From the Pew Research Center, labor unions, 55% of Americans say labor unions positively affect the country, while 41% say they have negative impact. And it's, with this being the Pew Research Center, the numbers go for days. I won't bore you with that, but it sticks right around party lines. There are more Democrats than there are Republicans in this country. If everybody who would vote Democrat would, a Republican would never win anything ever again. That's not my opinion. That's the facts. So the percentages stick right there with the pro or con or against the union, meaning it's one of those hard line. All Republicans hate unions. All Democrats love them, and that's it. And I'll get more back to that and just the oddness of the overall just general electorate here in a minute. But first, some comments and reaction from locals. We'll start with the Hamilton County Mayor, Weston Womp. You know, I'm not going to go a show without doing that. Weston says on Twitter, every single foreign auto plant that the UAW has unionized has closed. By contrast, VW has thrived here without them. Now that the UAW won in Chattanooga, I hope they will at least learn from their success as they try to overcome their reputation for job losses and corruption. The very first response is, every one of them, huh? Seems implausible. The very first plant I look up, the VW plant in Springfield, Ohio, employs 1,300 UAW workers. I didn't fact check that. Don't care to. If you want to, you can. Another one says, brother, you haven't seen a hard day of work in your life. I'd love to see you work a 12-hour swing shift at the plant for $40,000 a year. You and your sister are nepo babies who have ridden daddy's coattails into taxpayer-funded salaries. Maybe sit this one out there, fella. I like that. Let's see. Gonna offer you some free advice. Many of the people that unanimously elected the UAW to represent them are your constituents. Lots of these people will also be voting in the next county mayor election. It's time for you to be a true leader and support your constituents' decision. Barry says, you are a terrible mayor. The new ballpark speaks volumes of your awful administration. I don't understand what that means at all, actually. Another one says, nepo baby has thoughts about people that work for a living. Sorry for my animated way of reading it. And the final one here from Twitter is, you have plenty of roads that need to be fixed. Let these people live their lives. That is actually, I think, the best response. Like, you got things to do, dude. Don't worry about this. This one is from the Chattanooga Times Free Press. Workers made a mistake voting UAW, Governor Lee says. A quote from the governor, I think it's unwise to put your future in somebody else's hands. But those workers made that decision based on the individual circumstances of that plant. I think it was a mistake, but that's their choice, which is about the only reasonable thing you can say in that setting. So thanks for that, Lee. And then response, because it's fun. This is from Reddit. Lee can eat shit. Dolly Parton had done more to help everyday Tennesseans than this man could ever hope to. Sack of garbage human. Another one says, stupid people voting against their interest did this. The dude literally ran on, I am not a professional politician. In what other field is, I am not a professional a plus? His whole work experience is working as CEO of his dad's company. Of course, he's speaking of the Lee Company. And you can be an old man and still be a nepo baby. Another one says, luckily, in 2026, no matter what, we get a new governor. He can't run for a third term. F Governor Lee and F Weston Womp. Another one says, yes, F Bill Lee. Eat a bag of dicks, old ass mother, MF-er. There's a reason why unions are growing after a very long period of decline. Anyone with a brain would think to ask, why is this happening? But a Republican wants an easy answer to a complex problem. Immigration problem? Build a wall. Unions growing in popularity? Ban them. Except when it comes to guns, because gun bans don't work. That's Republican logic. Oh, wow, a conservative sees a union as a mistake. No way, this can't be real. Continuing through Reddit, unions are probably one of the only things conservatives and liberals should always be able to agree on. Weird how everyone thinks it's political. And that's because that's what's happened over the last 30 years. No one can really explain it. You just hear it enough, and that's what happens. So I don't have long here. I want to move quick. Just some thoughts to myself here is that when you just hear something enough, eventually you're just going to repeat it, even if you don't mean to. I get this all the time. I'll hear someone give me some kind of thought, and I'll be like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then I'll see it on TikTok like a few minutes later. Or a day later or a week later. And it's like, oh, well, they didn't come up with that on their own. And I do the same thing. We all do it. And when you're just told union's bad your whole life or union's great your whole life, then that's just what you end up thinking. I've used this one over and over for years. Ask any young Republican, any one of them, under the age, I used to say under the age of 40. I'll go and say under the age of 45. Ask them who the worst president is. You know who their answer is? Jimmy Carter, every single time. Then ask them to explain why. And they can't do it. Because that's all they've ever been told their whole life is that Jimmy Carter was the worst United States president. And so all young Republicans think that that's true. When that's not even kind of true. It's not even close to true. But that's what they believe. As I was growing up my whole life, my dad hated Seventh-day Adventists. He was raised an SDA and he grew to resent it. And he hated it. And he talked about how crazy they were and how much he hated them. And I was conditioned to think Seventh-day Adventists were terrible. They're not terrible. There's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing wrong with what they believe. Not any more than anybody else. But that's what I was told my whole life. That's what all this is. And when it's all in small doses, when all our learned behavior is in just small doses, incrementally over a lifetime, it becomes a problem, but it takes a long time, and it's not something that's top of mind very often. But we now live in a digital industry that is designed to rapidly convince people to think things, buy things, create things, be involved with things that they wouldn't normally have any interest in. And social media has been the perfect barometer of this. I've seen brainless types, like people I know that just do not have brains, complete intellectual wastelands on Facebook and elsewhere with really strong posts and opinions and thoughts and arguments on the union and UAW and the Teamsters and everybody else. They don't know the first thing about any of it. And quickly here, as I wrap up this segment, I don't think many people really even understand what America really is. The more I look and think and read, I don't think I even understand. Like a democracy. That's the big buzz thing. Oh, the end of democracy. You know, Republicans and Democrats. Trump's going to ruin democracy. Biden's already ruining democracy. Do you even know what it is? I mean, legitimate question. Do we even understand what democracy is? Because I don't think the answer is yes. I think the answer is no. If you truly believed in democracy, then you would think a vote within a private company to unionize would be the ultimate example of your democratic values. That's not what this is about. It's never what it's been about. It's not about democracy. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. I mean, this is just we're a hierarchy that's of sorts. An oligarchy, more specifically, from pacificlegal.org. The United States is not a democracy, and it was never meant to be one. To be an American is to embrace and believe in the superiority of democracy as the ideal form of government. Contrary to catchy slogans, memes, and other slick forms of electioneering, the government of the United States was never intended to be a pure democracy. The framers knew this. And they knew it would be dangerous. The writings of the founding era are replete with warnings of this fact. From Alexander Hamilton, quote, real liberty is not found in the extremes of democracy, but in moderate governments. If we incline too much to democracy, we shall soon shoot into a monarchy or some other form of dictatorship. Huh. Starting to sound a little familiar, doesn't it? Hey, remember that guy Thomas Jefferson? Quote, a democracy is nothing more than a mob rule where 51% of the people may take away the rights of the other 49. Huh. John Adams is quoted as, democracy never lasts long. It soon wastes, exhausts, and murders itself. There never was a democracy yet that did not commit suicide. End quote. Despite what many of today's activists would have us believe, the anti-democratic institutions of the American Republic are just as vital now as they were over 200 years ago. And I had so much more on this, and I'm going to stop it right there. What's my point on all that, on the democracy stuff? I think that the majority of all of us have been so poisoned by this political entertainment complex and the technology overload. It has rotted our brains, and I don't think any of us really even know what anything means anymore. We all act like we do. We all stumble around through things. We can have a good conversation with some of our friends, most of them not, but some of them we can, and we think we're being really smart. I got a podcast, so I must know what I'm talking about, and I got a degree in this. This guy over there has got a degree in that, so that guy must know what he's talking. I don't think many people really have any goddamn clue what they're talking about. And I think this union thing is just as much a part of that. And all I can do is hope to skate on by for the rest of this life that I live. Because as soon as I think I understand things around me, I realize I don't. And Democrats and Republicans are not the same now as they were 50 years ago. And they're not the same 50 years before that. They weren't the same 50 years. They didn't exist 50 years before that. And 50 years from now, if we're lucky to even have this republic still, then they won't be the same then either. And I think people are having trouble grasping anything and everything, but still want to have such a loud thought on stuff with the bullhorns that is technology that is rotting our brains. Is this good for VW and the city of Chattanooga? I don't know, and I don't care. I don't. I really don't. But it's not what you think it is. Whatever it is we all think it might be, it's probably not. All right, I will revisit my Rock and Roll Hall of Fame predictions, do that very quickly, and then 10 reasons why the city of Chattanooga sucks and you shouldn't live here. We should tell this to all the people that want to come here and work at Volkswagen, by the way. That's coming up next.
Now more Stone on Air.
It's about to get all stupid up in here.
StoneOnAir.com.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has announced their class of 2024 inductees. And some of the big names in the performer category include Cher, Ozzy Osbourne, Mary J. Blige, Peter Frampton, the Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Kool & the Gang, and A Tribe Called Quest. The induction ceremony will be held at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse on Saturday, October 19th. You can attend the ceremony live. Ticket information is not yet out, but you can watch it stream live on Disney Plus.
Of course, another one from the new Pearl Jam from hyperbole.com. Just kidding. Loudwire.com. But it is certainly hyperbolic. This song is called Waiting for Stevie. Waiting for Stevie might be one of the best Pearl Jam songs ever released. Better singing the gut-wrenching truth. Waiting for Stevie should be considered an instant Pearl Jam classic. This is a masterpiece in every possible way. It's a fine song. It's a fine, fine song. It very well might be my favorite song on the record. I don't know yet. It's got to be at least 10 plays before I'll know. I'm only 5 plays through. It is good, though. It is good. The story goes, and I'm not going to look up the way they're explaining it online. Whoever, again, who's they? that Ed wrote this song while he was waiting on something from Stevie Wonder. That's what people say. I think it's actually got truth to it, but I never was able to vet that out and check the veracity of that statement. Anywho, we'll continue on with the show, with the fun part of the show, looking back at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame predictions from a couple of months ago, and then why Chattanooga is the worst city in the country to live in. First of all, let me just play the clip real quick that I put together. Oops, turn that down. Sorry. This is just 1 minute, the recap of my Rock and Roll Hall of Fame predictions from back in February. So if I'm just putting in people quickly, Oasis,
don't
share.
You are correct, sir. Yes.
Mary J. Blige, maybe. Dave Matthews Band, I have trouble saying yes.
You don't think, Brian.
Foreigner, get the hell out of here, Foreigner. Hell no.
Wrong.
Peter Frampton, it's almost like he deserves an exhibit, but I don't think Peter Frampton on his own. Cool in the Gang, another tough one. I don't know.
How is it you think you know everything anyway?
Lenny Kravitz, not a chance. Hit the bricks, Lenny. Ozzy Osbourne, I'm assuming Black Sabbath is already there. Yes, I believe Ozzy Osbourne deserves the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I am the smartest man alive!
And what can I do to get A Tribe Called Quest off this list?
Wrong.
This is the second year in a row now.
Don't!
Tribe Called Quest? Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Sorry. No. Not even kind of. Couldn't help but have a little fun with it. So in is Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Goddamn Quest. Maybe it's just something I missed from back then. I don't get this Tribe Called Quest stuff at all. The ones that were left off, more notably to me, Mariah Carey. Never found out whether she wrote her music or not. Jane's Addiction, Lenny Kravitz, Sinead O'Connor. Glad all those didn't make it in. I don't think they deserve to. But left off, Oasis. And you're not telling the story of modern-day rock and roll without the band Oasis. Maybe because they're British assholes, they don't get the nod for a first-year induction. But that is my recap on that. So it's kind of from the vein of, if you're familiar with why your team sucks content on social media, a lot of people have parroted this and copied it. It was started by Deadspin years ago. And so what they would do is just write up a long, or if it was an audio content or whatever it would be, about all the things that suck about your team. And generally it's put together to be funny. Well, I saw this, why Chattanooga is the worst city to live in. And I thought, okay, well, this could work for the show. And since it was 4-2-3 day yesterday on Tuesday, and today's the 24th Wednesday, I thought, okay, well, let's do it. Well, in the end, this turns into be more of a gag than anything else. I don't know. It's from 601 Travels is the name of this. I'm assuming that's all their social handles. That's their YouTube channel. 34,000 followers on YouTube. So that ain't nothing. So there's 10 of them here. They're all about 30 seconds long. We'll fly through this as quick as we can. And maybe somebody from out of town will hear it and say, I was thinking about moving to Chattanooga and I changed my mind because that awesome podcast, the Stone on Air, most listened to podcast in the town, said Chattanooga sucks. The first one is schools.
Bad schools. This is one of the things that parents here consistently feel is really bad. Many choose private schools because of it. There are 48 public schools in the city and are all ranked at just about 40% lower than the national average when it comes to test scores. Only 81% of the residents have graduated high school, and that's attributed to horrible student-to-teacher ratios and the overall feeling of students being shuffled and passed on without qualifications.
Well, I mean, to just jump right off the page here, I can't argue with any of that. We got 20% that haven't even got out of high school around here. And it's not just Chattanooga. The entire state ranks in near the bottom of percentiles on anything that matters in public education. For a state I love so much, we sure teach kids to think stupid asshole things like, unions are either great or good, and but no further explanation is needed. The second one here, don't agree with nearly as much. Chattanooga weather. All these are 30 seconds long, by the way, in case you wondered.
the weather. Chattanooga has extreme weather year-round. It's far enough south to not really have to worry about a lot of snow, but it does happen. Usually between January and March, you can expect a few inches here and there. Other than that, because it's a southern city, July and August are usually very hot and humid. You also can't rule out a lot of severe weather, especially during those spring months where there are risks of tornadoes and straight line winds. It's also a pretty rainy city, getting 52 inches of rain on the average. You need to be prepared for all of the elements while living here.
All right. I mean, that's fine. Extreme weather year round. This is where this thing kind of starts to jump off the rails. Have you been around here recently? Have you been outside in the last 2 months? Extreme weather, huh? All year round. And also, we're very rainy. I mean, no, not any more than any other southern or eastern state in the union. No, not really at all. And if this is AI, this is some of the best AI I've ever heard. This sounds like an actual person who put this together. So I'm not sure about that, but I guess it could be the best AI I've ever heard. This one, I'll play it and then talk about it afterwards. Gas station shootouts.
Gas stations in Chattanooga are especially dangerous, and you should never feel safe while getting out to fill up your tank. If you're forced to, make sure you pay at the pump so you don't have to go inside. Recently, a reality TV star was the witness of a gas station shootout, now she unfortunately has PTSD and is undergoing extreme therapy for it. Our thoughts and prayers are with her. This event just highlights the extreme caution you need to take while doing normal everyday activities.
Okay, that one just jumped the rails. Maybe this is AI. I mean, I've already put this together for the show, so I'm doing it either way. Recently, a reality TV star witnessed this gas station shootout and has PTSD and is undergoing therapy for it. This is a problem around here, huh? It's dangerous to get gas in the city of Chattanooga, according to 601 Travels. And why Chattanooga is the worst city to live in. Next, feels like it should go hand in hand with that, but of course, crime.
Crime. There's more than just choo-choo trains in Chattanooga. There's also a lot of criminals and gangs. Depending on what part of the city you're in or going to, you might want to travel in groups or avoid completely at night. The violent crime average is 251% higher than the rest of the country, and you have a 1 in 13 chance of becoming the victim of a violent crime. You might be safe in the downtown area, but Chattanooga is a large city with many different pockets of problems. It's easy to wander into a less desirable neighborhood and wind up on an episode of Cops.
Oh, jeez. All right, so a confession to make. I didn't listen to all these before I did the show. I was not expecting 250%. What did she just say? That a higher crime rate than comparable cities? But then it says safe to go downtown. Wait a second. After Weston Womp and anybody else who would listen said it was dangerous downtown after the shooting of a prominent, which means middle-aged white man with a job, Chattanoogan last year. This is laughable. So this, I knew this was going to be a little dumb. I didn't know it was this dumb. I'm sorry. This one gets worse. I did, you know, like I said, you've been warned. Barbecue in the city of Chattanooga.
BBQ. Wet, rubbed, dry, hot and spicy or tangy, you will need to get acquainted with the idea that barbecue is everywhere. People in Chattanooga and Tennessee in general are very serious when it comes to it. There are dozens of restaurants around the city dedicated to the Southern Treat, along with numerous food trucks that you'll find serving pedestrians daily. If you don't like barbecue, people will look at you differently and judge you because it's such a way of life there.
Okay, so if you don't like barbecue, we're so goddamn passionate about it in the city of Chattanooga, we will judge you and look at you oddly because it is such a way of life. Yeah, no. There's plenty of it, and it all tastes the same. And it pretty much sucks, but if you like it, then it is what it is. If you don't, it's the same as what it was. Barbecue. All right, five more of these to go. Of course, everybody's got to deal with poverty, and Chattanooga is no different.
poverty. Chattanooga has been hit hard with a lot of poverty. It's apparent within the city by the looks of the houses, buildings, and other blight. The poverty level is actually 39% higher than the rest of the country. This might have a lot to do with the fact that an individual can expect to make just over $25,000 per year working full-time. That is 14% lower than the national average. That is if you're lucky enough to get a job and be working. The unemployment rate is 14% higher there as well. Many residents rely on assistance to get by, and it's impossible to get ahead for them.
All right, so we're just doing this together. You're hearing a show together, and I'm creating one and listening to this, most of it for the first time, too. We have, what did it say? $25,000 a year is, was that an average, did they say? On starting salary, I hope to hell none of y'all had to start at $25,000. Now, maybe 25 years ago, maybe. 14% higher unemployment than the national average. What's the national average? It's like 3 or 4%, right? We're 14% higher than that. And then our poverty level is 39% higher than the rest of the country. Of course, obviously, none of this is probably true. This one goes, depending on how you want to look at it, another reason why Chattanooga sucks.
Not Nashville. Like its neighbor Knoxville, Chattanooga has a lot to offer in terms of tourism for people who come to visit for a day or two. Any longer than that, you're going to be bored, looking for things to do, and probably end up leaving. Chattanooga will never be an exciting, heart-pounding, and entertaining city like Nashville. It will never have the entertainment, music, food, or events that Nashville does. It's kind of like that second redheaded stepchild behind Knoxville. No offense to any gingers. If going out and having a really good time is what you're into, you might as well just go to Nashville while you're in Tennessee.
Okay, so don't come to Chattanooga if you want to have any fun, because there's none here. No offense to gingers and whatever the hell else. It's not Nashville. Yeah, no shit. And to most anybody who lives here, not Nashville is a compliment. Nashville has turned into Los Angeles East. It's awful. And anybody who's not a Vols fan agrees that Chattanooga is way better than Knoxville. Knoxville's a fine place, especially if you love the stupid Vols. But if you don't, I mostly agree this town's way better than Knoxville. This is where it really starts to fall off, and I should have known this from the beginning. They even get one of the interstates terribly wrong, but they're not entirely wrong with the reason. One of the reasons, anyway, why Chattanooga sucks, and it's because of the traffic.
Traffic. There is a major transit hub in Chattanooga, which is I-24, I-75, and I-5.
Oh, good old I-5. You've been on that one recently?
Sitting on top of Alabama and Georgia, a lot of people are going to a lot of places and all subsequently passing through Chattanooga. The morning and evening commutes into the city and out of the city make the highway system really congested. Add in extra time and delays for all the construction that always seems to be taking place. This is definitely one of those places that you have to plan and factor in extra time to ensure you aren't late.
Okay, so, I mean, mostly right, but when you start off saying I-24, I-75, and I-5, you mean the interstate that runs up the western seaboard. In case you didn't know, the interstates run in odd numbers, starting lowest to highest from the west to the east. 5 runs up and down the Pacific. I-95 runs up and down the east, where I-75, a little bit further over, you can just start guessing where it goes from there. And so, yeah, I mean, traffic does suck really bad around here right now, but it's kind of because of all the simultaneous construction going on. If that's not happening, it's pretty easy to get around town. And if you know your way around here, it's not that bad at all. But we move along. I got to wrap things up here shortly. Two more. Another reason why Chattanooga sucks is because of all the allergies.
Allergies. Chattanooga, like a lot of other Tennessee cities, is hell on earth for those who have allergies. On a scale of 1 to 100, 100 being the worst, Chattanooga ranked an 84. Many residents there are on medication for allergies, including many of those who have never had an allergy problem before. A combination of the vast variety of trees, weeds, and grasses like mulberry, hickory, oak, ragweed, and Bermuda all pile on to make things really bad for those who are sensitive. One option, aside from medication, would be to just stay inside. Which wouldn't be a bad idea depending on what part of town you live in.
That doesn't really work, by the way, just staying inside for seasonal allergies around here. But at least that was one they're not wrong on. And the final one, and all I wrote was here, this is absolutely the dumbest part of this. I don't even know what it is. We'll play it and wrap things up.
Can't spell it. A study reveals that most people in the United States and a majority in Chattanooga can't even spell Chattanooga. Oftentimes, because they feel so inferior and sad about not being able to spell it, they refer to the city as Chat-Chatty, The Chatty, Noog, The Noog, Nooga, Chattown, and Sea Sizzle. It must be hard to live in a city that you can't spell correctly. That's why there's so many nicknames, because those are easier to say and spell. If you plan on visiting or moving there, be sure to catch up on all the nicknames we mentioned so you'll know what people are talking about.
Yeah, don't do that, actually. Don't do that at all. This was barely worth my time doing. But what the hell, right? Like, what else am I going to do around here? All the reasons why Chattanooga sucks. Maybe that whole thing's a goof. Maybe that's what the whole thing's about, because that's what your team sucks was a total goof. I didn't think that that's what this was, but clearly it must be. And there you go. Another hour in the books. This podcast drops every Wednesday, and the month of April is now done. Sad face, tear dropping down my eye. It's fine because I'm going to have another full weekend, but next time I talk to you, we'll be in May. So you guys enjoy whatever it is going on this weekend. Thanks for putting up with this dumb show, and we will do this all again next week. See you later. Bye.